Okay, as we said this morning, we're asking the question, what will heaven be like? And as we said, much of what the Bible tells us, it tells us what heaven will not be like. There will be no sorrow or death or sickness. And I suppose as Christians, we often ask ourselves, what will heaven be like? What will we do there? What will our relationship be with our husband or wife that we have left? And just what will the environment be like? And where will heaven be? And there's so many questions around these things. And I suppose if you're interested in the subject, a few books that I have found interesting is a book on Heaven and Hell by Ted Donnelly of the Reformed Presbyterian Church here. A book by William Hendrickson on Revelation, and a book by MacArthur on Heaven. And if you're interested in reading that, particularly Heaven and Hell by Ted Donnelly, it's very simple, and he argues what heaven and hell will be like very clearly. But you know, some of the things I might say this morning, you might say, well, has John Glass become a heretic? Well, I'm not, because these great Reformed thinkers are, that is what they believe that heaven and earth will be like. And I think, firstly, we're going to look at the new heaven and the new earth. And in chapter 21, it says in verse 1, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea." And we see there in verse 4 as well, it says the old order of things has passed away. And I think, what will heaven and earth be like, or what will this new heaven and earth be like? We need to go back to Genesis. What was the heaven and earth like before the fall? What was it like before Adam and Eve sinned? And it says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and earth. It wasn't just the earth he created, he created the heaven at that stage too. And why did he create it? Because God doesn't need us, or he doesn't need the earth, or he doesn't need the heavens. He doesn't need all the trouble that we have caused in this world. And what was his purpose for creating it? God created the heavens and the earth, and he brought a physical reality to it for the first time. You see, he brings this physical reality of earth and humans to this heaven and earth. And what was his purpose? His purpose was that we would see his glory and that we would reflect that glory in our lives. And that's what he made Adam and Eve for. And that's what they did in the garden up until the fall. You see, in the garden at the beginning, we're told that God walked in the garden with Adam and Eve in the cool of the day. You see, there was full unbroken fellowship between God and man. And God was in the garden and God was communing with Adam and Eve directly. And if we want to know what heaven was like, so much of what we're told in Revelation or in Genesis before the fall describes what heaven will be like. But the problem was, sin came and Satan tempted them and they fell, and God cursed the earth and God cursed the creatures. He put his curse upon them. You see, the paradise that was created was lost. And the heaven that we look forward to is a paradise restored. So the paradise that was in the Garden of Eden before the fall will be restored in heaven one day. Do you know, heaven will be very like what we are given a picture of in Genesis about the Garden of Eden. Verse 1 says, "I saw a new heaven and a new earth." And this is maybe where some people will cringe a bit when I say it. When Christ comes again and when he resurrects the bodies of the dead, and when we go and we meet him in the air with our new body and our new or a rejuvenated soul. God will judge the world. And then God will create a new heaven and a new earth. But you see, it won't be a new earth. It will be a rejuvenated earth. And you might think that strange. Isaiah says that, "Behold, I create a new heaven and a new earth." And you see, Peter also says this, "But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar. The elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything in it will be laid bare." You see, I believe, like Ted Donnelly believes, that the new earth and the new heaven will be a rejuvenated heaven and earth. We won't go like angels to float around and live in some spiritual place like so often we imagine. But Ted Donnelly says that this new heaven and earth will no longer be separated. They will now be one and they will be merged together. And heaven will come down to earth and will form one radiant, bright entity for the glory of God. I believe that the new earth that we will go to live in our new resurrected bodies, will be a rejuvenated earth. It will be similar to what it was before the fall in the Garden of Eden, only it will be even better. You see, that paradise will be restored. That paradise that Adam and Eve had and sinned and fell, and the curse of God came upon it, it will be restored, and there will be no more sin. And God will come and he will live with us, and we will have full fellowship with God, and even more than Adam and Eve had before the fall. It won't be another world, but it will be the same. It will be the same heaven and earth restored, and everything will be made new. George, you'll be glad to hear there'll be no more weeds or thorns or thistles, and all farmers will be glad to hear that. We will have a world that there will be no wars or disease in. There will be no earthquakes or no volcanoes. And everything that had to do with the curse will be removed. You see, the grace of God doesn't destroy things. It recreates things. It restores them. When man fell in the Garden of Eden, he didn't destroy man. When man sinned and he sent the flood, he didn't destroy the human race. And it's going to be the same with this new heaven and new earth. God will restore this current heaven and earth, and they will come together in glorious unity. Do you know, we will live in this new heaven and new earth, and it will be a physical, spiritual and material place, and God will be in our presence. And I know now our minds cannot understand that, but that's what it will be like. And you know, God's plan will not be complete until he restores the heavens and the earth to what they were before the fall. Do you remember when Jesus said in Matthew 5, "Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth"? That has a deeper meaning now, hasn't it? This new heaven and new earth that we will inherit as God's people, as the meek. Okay, we have said that this new earth will be a recreated earth like it was before the fall. And I know that that maybe doesn't lie easily with some people, but I suggest that you go and read some of those books I've mentioned and have another think about it. Verse 1 also says there will be no longer any sea. And most of this world is covered with sea, isn't it? Most of the world, the largest part of the world is sea. But John says there will be no sea in this new heaven and earth, because sea is danger, sea is trouble. People lose their lives at sea. Sea separates the nations and causes divisions. John himself was in the Isle of Patmos, separated from the rest of the world by sea. So there will be no more sea. And as we said to the boys and girls, there will be no more moon or there'll be no more sun because it's not required, because God will be there and he will be in their midst. So we've seen what's next. We see the New Jerusalem. And this, again, is symbolic of our fellowship with God. We read in 21, verse 2, I saw the holy city, the New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. You see, God is coming. He's coming with his bride, the church, and he's coming to dwell on this new earth that he has regenerated and recreated and rejuvenated. And he's coming to live amongst his people. It says in verse 3 there, and I heard a loud voice. Now the dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them. They will be his God, and he will be their people. You see, just as Adam and Eve in the garden had full, direct fellowship with God, so too in this new heaven and new earth, we will have full, direct access to God and to his fellowship. Do you remember the boys and girls said there will be no temple in heaven because God and Jesus will be there? There's no requirement for a temple. What is this New Jerusalem that John is talking about? Well, if we turn to verse 9, we will see that the angel took John in this dream, in this revelation, to a high mountain, and he showed him the great city of Jerusalem coming down out of heaven from God. And it says it shone with the glory of God, and its brilliance was like a precious jewel. This isn't a real city. This is another symbol. This is the symbol of the bride of Christ. This city, it's a symbol of the bride of Christ. We read it there that the city is the bride, and the bride is the city, and the bride is the blood-bought church of Jesus Christ. And this is a picture of God coming down with his church to this new rejuvenated earth where we will spend eternity. And it's coming down, and God is going to dwell in the midst of it. And John uses this same language again of precious stones and gold, because we know that heaven will not be a hard, cold place that's just precious stones and marble, but we know it will be a rejuvenated earth and beautiful creation. But John uses this language, it's so beautiful. We see there, John looks at it and he tells us the size of it. It's 1,500 miles long, it's 1,500 miles wide, and it's 1,500 miles high. That's from London to Moscow. That's 1,500 miles. So we see that it's a large city. And the thing about it, this city is a cube. It's 1,500 by 1,500 by 1,500. And if you go back, God's word is perfect. In the Old Testament, the Holy of Holies and the tabernacle and the temple were cubes as well in their dimensions. And God lived in the Holy of Holies, and that's where his presence was. But now God is coming, and he's coming to earth, and he will dwell with his people, and we will have direct access to him. In the Old Testament, the high priest could only go into the Holy of Holies once a year. But in this new Jerusalem, in this new heaven and earth, we will have full access to God. Verse 17, it says its walls are 220 feet thick. And this is really just showing us the safety and security of the church within Christ and within God, and how good that fellowship and how safe and strong that fellowship will be. And in verse 22, we told the boys and girls there'll be no temple in the city, because it says the Lord Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. There'll be no more boxing God into a holy of holies, but God's presence will be everywhere in heaven. Verse 25, it says there's 12 gates and the gates never close. That means that our fellowship with God, we have fellowship with God all the time. The gate never closes. There's no danger in heaven, so the gates don't have to close, but we have full fellowship with him. And in verse 27, we see who are the inhabitants. Who is this church of God that's coming down in this symbol of the New Jerusalem? It says those whose name are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Very quickly, we'll just move on. Let's remember, this New Jerusalem that John sees is only a symbol. It's a symbol of the church of God, the church of Jesus Christ, his bride, coming down out of heaven to this new earth. And it shows the safety and security of it all. Chapter 22, we see that the river of the water of life. And there was a river in Eden as well, do you remember? And it watered the garden. Well, this river flows from the throne of God and of the Lamb. And this river is clear as crystal and is abundant. And this is the living water that flows amongst the church. And then we see as well, we see the tree of life. You see, Adam and Eve, when they sinned, they had full access to the tree of life in the garden. That tree provided physical sustenance, but it also provided communion with God and eternal life. And when they sinned, they were locked out of the garden, away from the tree of life. But when we get to heaven, the tree of life will be there, and we will have eternal life, and we will have full access to God. Eden is restored. And you know, God, when Satan tempted Adam and Eve in the garden, God didn't give up on us. God had a plan in place that he would send a Savior to defeat Satan. And if we look forward to that, God in heaven will restore Eden, the paradise restored. Then we see our third point here today. We've seen the new heaven and the new earth. And I know for some of you, when I say that this new earth will be a regenerated and rejuvenated earth where we will live for all eternity, and it will look like what the Garden of Eden looked like before the fall, you might disagree with me, but I believe that that's what God's word says. We see this new Jerusalem coming down from heaven, which we're saying is a picture of the bride of Christ coming down. And then we will see the new level of fellowship that we will have in heaven. Because there'll be no sin there, there'll be no arguments, there'll be no death, there'll be no sorrow. It will be a new level of fellowship, firstly with God and with the Lamb. 21 verse 3, we read it earlier. Let's read it again. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Now the dwelling of God is with men. And he will live with them, they will be his people, and God himself will be their God." So God will come and live with us, just like God walked in the garden with Adam and Eve in the cool of the day. 22 verse 4, we see there, they will see his face. And I'll be honest, I have thought about this over the last week, and throughout the Old Testament, man was never allowed to look in the face of God or he would die. I just haven't got it clear in my own mind, will we look only in the face of Jesus or will we also look in the face of God? I don't know, but God will be in our midst and we will have direct access to him and we will enjoy his fellowship. It also says his name will be on our foreheads. We are his, and nothing can separate us from his love. Nothing at all. But when we go to heaven, I believe that the greatest thing will be the greater knowledge of God that we will learn about. We will see God. We will see Jesus. We will live in a new level of fellowship. We will know more about God and how great he is and what he has done than we ever can learn from the Bible. It will be a new level of fellowship, and we will worship him day and night, and we will serve him in heaven. But then finally, we see here today, what will our fellowship be like with other believers in heaven? Will we know our wife or husband in heaven whom we have lost? Will we know each other? How will we be occupied there? Someone said to me once, what age will we be in heaven? I don't know the answer to that. But things about heaven seem so intangible sometimes, don't they? You just wish you could touch them and know more about them. But God is satisfied that he has told us everything in the Bible that we need to know about heaven. Firstly, we see there we will spend eternity enjoying the beauty of heaven. And the Garden of Eden was beautiful, and I believe heaven will be even more beautiful, and we will enjoy eternity just enjoying that creation, exploring its resources, and worshiping God and learning more about God. And when we arrive in heaven, what about those people that were left behind and hadn't trusted in Jesus? Will we sorrow over them? Well, there is no sorrow in heaven, and I don't know how that works. But there is no sorrow in heaven. And I don't know how we will get over the thought of some of our loved ones going to a lost eternity. I don't know the answer to that. In heaven, we said there's no sea. So that means that all nations will not be separated by the sea. And there'll be people in heaven from every nation under the sun. And we'll not be separated by the sea. And there will be a large family in heaven, and we'll never be lonely again. And there'll be no more fighting between the nations like there was in our present world. Do you remember in the Tower of Babel, up until that point, everyone spoke the same language. But at that point, God decided to confuse their languages. And it doesn't say in the Bible, but I'm convinced if God is restoring paradise, that there will be one common language. And what about our wife or husband in heaven? What would our relationship be with them? And for many of us who have lost husbands or wives, we look forward to heaven to meet them again, and we will know them in heaven. But you see, in heaven, the husband won't need a helper, the wife won't need a protector, and children won't need parental care. Jesus said himself, do you remember when the Sadducees asked Jesus, whose wife would someone be in heaven after the resurrection? Jesus said, in heaven there will be neither marriage nor the giving in marriage. You see, in heaven there will be no need to reproduce. God's command to go into the world and multiply no longer is relevant. We don't need to reproduce in heaven. We will have a different relationship with our husbands and wives. But you know something, that will be an even closer and fuller and better relationship than we enjoyed on earth. What will we do in heaven? Heaven's a place of rest. But it'd be a bit boring if we were resting all the time, wouldn't it? I believe it will be a place of rest. There'll be rest from sin and sorrow and sickness and death and losing our loved ones. There'll be no more of that trouble. We will rest from all that trouble. There'll be no more tears. But if you go back to the Garden of Eden, when God created the Garden of Eden, before the fall, he put man in the garden, and he told him to tend and to serve him and to look after the garden. And I believe we will not be idle in heaven. I believe that we will spend time worshiping the King, but God will also give us service in heaven. Heaven will be a physical, material, spiritual place where we will be stewards of God's rejuvenated creation. And we will serve him just like Adam served him before the fall, but even in a fuller sense. Do you know, throughout eternity, we will have a great life with all these things that were involved with the curse gone, with no more sin, no more death. As Christians together, we won't be arguing about anything. We will have perfect unity. There, we will love each other like Christ loves us. We will meet our husband and wife who has died and gone before us. We will have an even fuller relationship with them in heaven, and it will be for all eternity. Unsafe person, I haven't mentioned you today, but you've seen what heaven's like. It's going to be a tremendous place. It's so good that John could only describe it in gold and precious stones. It was so beautiful that he couldn't find the language to describe it. But unsaved person, the place that you go to if you're unsaved is the total opposite of what heaven will be like. And I pray today, as you heard about what heaven is like, that you would trust in Jesus and that you would trust in him so that one day you too might go to be in heaven. We've seen today, in finishing the new heaven and the new earth, we will spend eternity in a physical, material, and spiritual place in this new heaven and new earth. Ted Donnelly says the new heaven and the new earth will become one glorious unity. The new Jerusalem, the picture of the bride of Christ coming down out of heaven, and God living amongst the people, and God being their God, and Jesus and God being there all the time. The new level of fellowship that we'll have with God, we will see his face, and the new level of fellowship that we will have with each other. We will be loving each other as we do in Christ, and how special that will be. Let's just close in prayer before we sing our final hymn.